You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Sometimes I really be feeling like I wasn't born in the right time or like the right year. And then I'm singing with y'all and it's okay. This called 2000 and something.
Can we talk a little bit about how you got started in music? Because I would be really fascinated to hear what made you decide this was something you wanted to do career-wise.
So I've always loved to sing and just express myself creatively, and having two artist parents, there was a lot of space for that, but also at the same time they're just constantly just be like, don't be an artist, you're gonna struggle like us. And yeah, so that was the vibe.
So they're giving you different kinds of lessons. They're saying express yourself, but also be realistic, have a game plan as well.
Yeah.
So what kind of helped you get your game plan, I guess? How did you go, this is actually what I can make a career out of?
I don't even think if it was more so like, I don't even know if I was even thinking as far as career. It was just like, I want this to be something that I do often.
Yeah.
And the feeling of being on stage, amazing. So I think where it really did come from though was when I was performing still when No Tracks were out, with the DJ named Ms. Risk from Melbourne, and she was putting on a weekly kind of open mic sort of thing. And so she gave me up every week, and then just performing all these unreleased tracks. And then when it was like the 1 year anniversary, there was just like the whole spot was filled out, and people were singing the tracks that literally weren't even out, so you'd have had to have been to these places to know the words. So I remember after that show, that was the confirmation for me.
That's awesome.
It was like 3-4 years ago now.
It's so special to be able to not only be like, oh, this is lovely that people are streaming my music, but actually people are showing up to my gigs.
100%.
And as you're saying, like, to have people know the words but the music not be out there, that's a dedicated following. So obviously those club scenes and that community has really nourished your practice as an artist.
100%.
What are some of the things that you, I guess, would say are your favourite bits about those communities? Like what sort of defines those music communities for you?
The support. I think that's the main thing, especially in Melbourne. I've always been heavily supported by the crew. Even when I didn't know I was a part of it.
Yeah.
Just always felt welcomed. It felt like family, still does. Just giving me space to do my thing. Like, I keep saying it, but thankful.
No, it's a good word, especially, I think, to have people around you that respect what you do and give you that space and give you that encouragement. That is a huge thing to be thankful for. Who do you write your tracks for? Are they for yourself? Are they for your mates? What's the thing that makes you go, this is why I'm writing this song?
I mean, I guess the context of each track, that'll always change, but always write my music for myself. Yeah,
that's the person who's got to be cool with it the most.
Facts.
Facts.
Yeah, like I was saying before, if you're not happy with your work once it's out and you've got no control over it at that point, when it's released, you're just going to be constantly waiting, just constantly wanting to hear what other people think about it.
Yeah.
So I don't like that.
that's a hard thing when you look to other people. I mean, you want to have the people you respect and that you love say, yeah, we're on board with what you're doing, but you don't want to be completely at the beck and call of other people's opinions.
Facts.
Yeah. Trying to show you a good time, and I can see right through that. Truth be told, I'm a hypocrite. We'll keep going till my liver just couldn't have handled it to take away the pain from your heart. Not clogged arteries, worth loving. You say you're waiting to get a CJ, trying to show you what a good time. I can see right through that. Trying to show you a good time. I can see why Luke that lemonade. What? Lemonade. I'm really interested. It's a really intense time over in Australia, at least from where we sit, where you guys have got awful bushfires. And also it's just been Invasion Day, which is a very strange time of the year, I can imagine.
Very.
How does it feel to be a musician situated in the middle of all of this? Because there is a really healthy scene. It's also a really politically vocal scene. Yeah. How do you feel in the middle of this?
What I feel and know is that I have a voice. And if I've got something important to say, then I want it to be heard. And especially, like, in particular, all these bushfires at the moment. Mm-hmm. Like, look at, like, the main people supporting this stuff. Mm-hmm. It's the artists.
Mm.
And, like, the old PM, like, it even just triggers me, like, the amount of funding that's been removed from the music department and the arts.
Yeah.
Like, and these are the people that are supporting the community, how I see it anyway, the most at the moment, and putting on the reliefs and the shows. Mm-hmm. And it makes me so proud to be a part of the scene.
Totally. Well, that's how we see what's going on as well, because we see all the, like, DJs and artists putting out tracks for bushfire relief and also putting on these gigs and stuff. And that's, I guess, some way that people removed from the situation can also support as well. But it is a really, it seems like a really strange time over in Australia. So as you're saying, music is also a healing thing as well. It brings people together.
Mm-hmm.
Has that been something for you in your life growing up? What kind of music have you touched on, I guess, leading towards making your own?
I'm my surroundings. So it would have started with what my mum was bumping. So that was a lot of alternative stuff. So I'm heavily into the Smiths and Morrissey.
Mm-hmm.
And then my uncle, my mum's brother, I remember him giving me the Miseducation of Lauryn Hill CD.
Mean.
Yeah. And my mind was blown. And then
I feel like that was a game changer album for so many people.
Oh,
such a touchstone, eh?
It still is.
It sounds like it could have been made this year. It's wild.
Facts. Oh my god, that's what someone was saying too. They said something about, like, the way music ages. Or
yeah.
This track's aged well, or this album. I'm like, that's so true.
Mm. I also wanted to ask you a little bit about what you would like to see as your next project, or have you got things in the works at the moment?
I do.
Oh, this is exciting.
I do. We played an unreleased track today. Lil Mama theme song.
Nice.
Yep. So it's my anthem for when I really need to go home.
Mm-hmm.
To then wake up the next day and do things, adult things.
My washing. Me thinking about the big pile of washing in my room.
Don't trigger me. Actually, before I left to come up to Auckland, I cleaned the shit
Future
out
Kate
of my
is gonna
room.
Thank you. Hey, it's been such a pleasure to chat to you. Thank you so much for your time
thank
today
you,
as well. And thank you for such a wonderful set as well. It was a great way to kick off the afternoon at Laneway.
Thank you for being here.
Well, we hope to have you back in Auckland very soon. So cheers.
And this is exactly how you make me feel. but thank you for all of your energy.
That's got to be the best laugh, like the most infectious laugh. That was Kate having a chat to me after her fantastic set at Laneway on the 27th, just over a week ago now. She was really fantastic to see live. I do hope she comes over and plays a solo show here. I'm sure there'd be a lot of people very keen to see her do that. She's put out a couple of EPs, but yet to put out a full-length release as well, but you can find them wherever you find your good music. And yeah, she was a pleasure to chat to.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.